and gentlemen, I give you Lady Raptastic.
Chep Radio Experiment. Today we have a very special show because we have a very special guest, podcasting supernova ultra phenomenon sensation, Lady Raptastic here.
Hello, my name is the Lady Raptastic. I am here to talk to Airship on his radio show. What's the name of your show?
The Ed Chip Radio Experience.
Oh, that's very creative.
Where are you coming from, Lady Raptastic?
Where am I coming from? My gut, my heart, my soul, everything about me is real. What you laughing so far? Are you high? Are you high?
Where are you from?
I live in Jersey City, New Jersey. Do you not know anything about this show? Have you ever heard the Lady Raptastic Show? The Lady Raptastic Show is a podcast. I live in Jersey City, New Jersey. And please do not try to find me because am I allowed to say that on this show? Oh, Lord, now you gotta edit that out.
Were you born in Jersey City?
I don't. You know, everybody asks me about my past. You know, and I say to them, do not worry about the past, worry about the present. I live in the present, you know what I'm saying? Like Madonna, you know, I live my life as though I am moving forward, as if I am on a horse that is traveling forward. I don't know where the horse been, but I do know where I'm going, and I'm going straight up to the top, please. I was raised by my grandma, who inspired me to reach the heights at which I have reached, and so yes, it has always been up inside myself.
You're known for your immensely popular podcast.
Did you want to give them the address of the podcast? It's myspace.com/LadyRaptastic. It's like fantastic, but rap.
So how did this start?
It was recorded a long time ago in my car on my cell phone. I had a cell phone at the time. I've gone through several iterations of cell phones, and I had a cell phone, and I was recording my thoughts, you know, recording what I felt about the world. and about my life and about how I could inspire others through my thoughts and actions and beings and doings. And, you know, and then I partnered up with Chris, as you probably don't know because you don't listen to the podcast. And what he did was he brought a level of expertise. He brought a level of professionalism to the podcast where now we have this format. You know, we open the show maybe with, you know, go to my space and listen for yourself. But it's very professional. I'm very proud. My mother's very proud of me. I would go to the club and I would talk to people, you know, and they would say, "You have such a dynamic and diverse personality. You know, you should be on the radio." And I say, "You're just trying to get up in my skirt. You know, I know the games the men play." And it wasn't until my friend Tiki, she sat me down one day and we was not at the club and we was not drunk. We was watching somebody's baby and a dog. We was babysitting and dog sitting. And she said, "You know, you need to do something, you know, with your personality." Because at the time, I was trying to launch a rap career, as you probably don't know because you don't listen to the podcast. So I said, "Okay, now wait a minute. I put two birds with one stone and I put the thoughts together, you know, in a Rubik's Cube in my brain." And I said, "Okay, now if I create the podcast or something, you know, maybe that would get my rap career going." And, you know, it actually did. It actually did. You know, I released a song in Christmas of 2005. And this was a holiday song. And, you know, it got 95,000 downloads. Please. I didn't make a dime, but, you know, I got some downloads. I got my name out there, you know. And then I started a blog, LaterRapTastic.com, you know, and then it just blossomed from there.
How did you meet Chris?
He was working at a car wash, and he was washing my car. He did a very good job. And then we just kept talking and meeting, and then he ended up becoming the producer because He needed money, and I needed somebody to push the buttons.
Are you too romantically involved?
But everybody asked me this question, and I'm going to be polite, and I'm going to pretend it was the first time that anybody ever answered this question. Asked me just to answer what we have not done nothing.
So are you single, or are you currently seeing anybody?
I've seen about a couple men. Would you like me? You want to know their names? I mean, I gotta have a personal life here. I can't just... I mean, come on now, there's a line. There's a line. Okay, I'm seeing this boy named Rod. That's short. He is Hispanic. And I think his name is Rodrigo or Rodriguez or something. I don't know. And I'm seeing this other man named T-Bone who, let me tell you something. And this man is, quite honestly, the most attractive man I've ever seen in my life. You ever seen the Statue of David? You know the Statue of David? He looked like the Statue of David. Hot! Ooh! Let me tell you this. Now, I do not think that... I do not do the podcast so that I can get men. But I will tell you this. Between you and me and your five listeners, having a podcast makes it very easy when I go to the club. You know, everybody's like, "Oh, there's Letter Up Tessie. She's got a podcast." You know, and the men come up and they buy me drinks and I get drunk and then somebody drives me home. You know, I have a lawyer friend who I had, when I meet somebody new and I say, "Hello, let's go hang out. You know, let's go to the club. Let's go play tennis. Let's go play bocce." I have them sign a waiver that says, "Just so you know, nothing that you say or that I say will ever become part of the podcast, as well as if you ever say anything about the time that we have spent together, you know, in your own life, if you tell anybody, you will be shot. It's a legal document."
And have you had to shoot somebody before?
Yes, I have. Are you high? You laughing so much. I thought this was a real radio show. This ain't nothing but a joke, please.
Tell us about more about the podcast. What process do you go through in making it?
You know, we have different sessions. We've got a word of the day where we go through the dictionary and we find words that maybe not are used in everyday language, you know. And so that's the educational part of the podcast. We also have a new section called This Day in AIDS. It is a gay history section where we talk about gay history, and we call it this day and AIDS, because of course when you're talking about gay, you talking about AIDS. It's the same thing. And then we have parts where people write in letters, you know, to ask advice about me, from me, you know, about their life, and then I answer questions as well. Oh, you know what else? I want to give a shout out to two people who that we give listeners who take people, you know, they take parts of the show and then they make little sounds out of it. So we got two listeners. I forgot their names, but shout out to you. I'm not gay at all, please. I love the men. Ain't nobody gay on my podcast but my assistant Chris.
Is he how the gay section came about this day and age?
How did that come about? You know, well, let me tell you this, okay? We have a large group of listeners in, you know, a large part of our listeners for some reason is gay and they male. And so one day we was like, we've got to do something to address, you know, they needs and they wants and they gayness. So we came up with this day in AIDS. And so, you know, so that the gay people say, ah, we got this podcast, you know, this is not only hopefully funny and entertaining, but it addresses my needs as a gay man. It kills two stones with one bird.
How's the reaction been to that?
Fabulous. Except one person. If you go to LadyRapTastic.com, I don't know which episode, somebody left a comment and they said that this day in AIDS was offensive. And you know what happened, Ed? Do you know what happened, Lee? All of my listeners came to my defense. They said, you know what, you need to get a sense of humor, you need to learn about the show, you know, the whole show is not, it was wonderful, and I cried.
So what are the challenges as a modern, strong black woman in the podcast community?
That's a very good question. You know, the challenge as a strong black woman in the podcasting community is, first of all, to get the shows made. You know, Chris and I have admitted on the show several times we are lazy. We do not like, you know, sometimes we come over, you know, and he brings the Inglenook wine, which used to be a sponsor. The Inglenook wine, please drink it. They used to be a sponsor of our show. And we sit down, we go, do you want to do this show? And he said, no. And he said, do you want to do this show? And I said, no. And then we just don't do this show. You know, one of the challenges is making us do the show. You know, it's hard to get people aware of the show. You know, we put a show out every Monday or Tuesday if we're going late. You know, do not judge. But the challenge is, you know, we put the show out and nobody, you know, some people listen, you know, a few people listen, but it has not, you know, caught on fire. You know, it has not exploded like I was hoping it would. Cause I thought, you know, at some point, the show, you know, it would be, you know, somebody would say, oh, that's very good show, you know, Larry Testing is really trying, yeah, you know. Excuse me. So I just have to keep marching on, you know, I gotta keep marching on and think to myself, someday, something's going to happen.
How do you get through those times, those rough times?
I drink Inglenook wine.
So what's the reaction of your family to your podcast?
Yeah, my mother, you know, she's very supportive, you know. Unlike some parents who say, you know, you got to go into nursing, you got to go and get a real job, you know. She knows where my heart is, and it is in the arts, you know. And she listens to every episode except the Hitty Roach episode. You got to listen to that for yourself. And she sends me emails and critiques, you know. She's a woman who sits down a lot, you know. So she's got a lot of time to do nothing. And so she listens to the show. Sometimes she listens to old shows and sends me notes. And I say, you know, I can't go back and fix those shows, you know. That was 2 years ago. And she said, I don't understand. I thought you was on the radio. And I said, no, I'm not on the radio. I'm on the podcast. Please, that's the difference, you know.
What's, one piece of constructive criticism that she's given you.
Don't curse.
Did you used to have a problem with that?
Yes. I didn't have a problem as much as, you know, I was being a little bit too lax on the cursing. And, you know, when she said that to me, I was very insulted. And I was at her house. It was a Sunday. And I was having dinner, and I took it personally, you know. When you talk about the letter of test signature, you talk about my baby. You know, this is what I do in my life. This is my Broadway show. This is my, you know, TV show on the CW. This is my movie, you know. You just can't throw out, you know, oh, I think this, I think that, you know. So when she said something, I don't know what she said about my show, about the cursing or whatever, I picked up my plate. And I threw it at the wall. And I took my lighter out of my purse. And I lit the tablecloth on fire. And I left the house. And, you know, she called me the next day and said, well, first of all, I'm sorry for insulting you on your podcast. I said, thank you very much. She said, second of all, the house burned down. Entire house burned down. She said, third of all, everybody escaped with no burns. And I said, okay, that's what you get. The next time you talk about my show, somebody would die. You know, I have reached a level of success in the podcasting community, okay? And the more power you get, the more influence you have. So, she know, because she go on my MySpace page and she sees, you know, how many comments I get, how many friends I got, and I tell her how many listeners I got, you know, and she's very intimidated, you know?
Well, what does she do? Oh, well, she sits around. What did she used to do?
She sits around. She was a nurse. She used to do printing in a print shop, you know. That was one of the ways. She would come home every night with ink all over her hands. But she worked in the part of the print shop where they only deal in red ink. So she would come home every day and she'd say, hello, give me a hug. And she held this when I was little. And she held out her arms. And you, as a child, you know, you're looking at your mama's hands and you expect to see black skin. And it was all red. It was like blood, you know. And I would go, wash that blood off your hands. And she said, no, it's not blood, it's ink. And I said, it is blood. And finally she explained to me that it was ink. But I never believed her, you know. I think that she was actually working at a slaughterhouse.
So is that why you didn't follow in her footsteps?
No, I didn't follow in her footsteps because I was born with the gift of rap. And I was born to be in the entertainment industry, okay?
Can you freestyle a little for us?
Right now?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. I need some alcohol, oh, my Lord. What rap. You want to hear?
Rap about alcohol.
Then, all right. I like booze in the morning because it makes me feel good. I like booze in the evening if I have it, knock on wood. If you got booze, you need to drink it. Do not second think it. Do not even blink it. Cause booze is your best friend. Give it to me now. Booze. You made me laugh, Dad. Come on, man. I had it going on. I had to get you good.
Excellent.
Oh, that's woo.
I can't believe that you've not had interest from the record industry yet.
Have you been
approached?
Yes, I have. By two men who offered me to fly me to Los Angeles and to record a demo. And I said no. Because they said in order for them to do that, I had to perform. I can't say what, but I had to perform actions. And I said, you know what? No, the lady is that lady. And I only do that at the club. Okay?
So you mentioned MySpace. How'd you get involved with MySpace? I mean, I know they host your podcast.
Ain't nobody host my podcast. My podcast is on iTunes. I should say that first of all. If you like to listen to the Letter Raptastic podcast, please go to iTunes and search for the Letter Raptastic Show. We also have a MySpace page where you can, it's got a player and it's got all, we got, we're up to date. As of today, we got 75 episodes. Yay! Woo! And then we got a video podcast. This got 4 episodes. And the reason we only got 4 episodes is because me and Chris is lazy.
So what is your opinion of the MySpace experience?
I love it. I love it. I love it. Oh, I just want to eat it. I want to put it in my mouth and swallow it. It's so good. You know, because it's the only way I can connect to the listeners. You know, the listeners write in. They leave comments. They leave comments on the blog. You know, every time we have a new episode out, I don't put the episode. Chris does all that stuff. I sleep. But we put the episode on the blog, you know, the blog, and people leave comments about the episode, and some people leave a nasty comment, and the other listeners come on and defend, you know, me, of course, because I am always right. Please. And it's just a plethora of communications. You know, we have had a couple of college radio stations, you know, contact. I told you that before. They contact us and say, can we play your show on our station? And I say, how much money are you going to give me? They say nothing. And I say, okay, you know. Because by this time, you know, we ain't making no money.
What's the weirdest MySpace experience you've had?
I got a comment from a man named Terrell, which reminds me of the word Tourette. Is that bad? Terrell wrote me a letter. And it basically said, I live where you live. I like the way you look. I'm available at 6 p.m. Chris and I both log on to the MySpace, and he got the letter first, and he called me and he said, there's this man who wants to meet you at 6 o'clock, you know, and then I read it, like, oh my God, I saw the picture. He's got a lot of pictures out of the baby. And I met him at 6 o'clock, and that was one of the most magical nights of my life, you know? I mean, he took me to places I have never been. He expanded my mind. He made my body jiggle. He made me see stars. Okay?
So what happened after that?
He died. I woke up and I guess he went to get a snack. And I got up to go to the bathroom, you know, and I saw his dead body in the hallway. And I said to myself, you know what? They're going to think I killed him. He had a fireplace. So I took his body and I put it in the fireplace and I burned it, you know? And you know what happens when you burn a body? Do you know what happens? The bones do not burn. So I had to take care of the bones. Now, luckily, he had one of those machines, you know, you put a piece of broccoli in and it comes out juice. I took all his bones and put it in that juicer and I juiced his bones. And then I drank it. I drank his bones.
How did that taste?
Disgusting! Have you ever seen a bone? What do you think it tastes like? It tastes awful. It tastes like chalky. It was awful. But I said to myself, I said, you know, in times of strife and tribulation, you have got to pull yourself up by the bootstraps. You got to put your pants on backwards. And you have to say, you know what? Even though I do not want to do this, even though the world is, you know, gonna hunt me down, even though I am being stressed to the limits. And I have been stressed to the limits, but we are not gonna go into that on this podcast. You have got to stand up and say, you know what? This has got to be done. And I drank his bones. And I left the apartment. And I never seen him again, of course, because it was burned and I drank his bones. But, you know, I never got caught. Because I got a brain up in this brain, okay? I got a brain. And you know, that is the one thing. You know, when I do, can I go on? I feel like I'm talking too much.
No.
Am I talking too much? Don't let me talk too much. When I speak at the Boys and Girls Clubs all over the central New Jersey area, I tell them, this is part of my speech, I say, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, these are boys and girls, do you have a brain? You know, they all raise their hands. And I say, boys and girls, do you use your brain? And they raise their hands. And I say, no, you don't. No, you don't. You know why? And they said, why? And I said, because if you use your brains, you will not be up in the Boys and Girls Club all broke, you know? There is no reason you kids here are not millionaires, okay? You are lazy. You've got to use your brain. You've got to use your mind. You got to figure out. You say, you looking like, yeah? Are you listening? You got to look at life and say, life is a game and I'm going to win. How do I win? And the only way you're going to win is use your brain. And you do not need education, okay? Let me tell you something. I did not get where I am from education. I got it from the sheer gut. You got to listen to your gut, and you have got to listen to your gut, and it will tell you what you need to do. You do, ain't nobody need to tell you how to live your life. Ain't nobody need to go, oh, you know what? I ain't got no money. I got a baby. What do I do? You know what you gotta do? You gotta get rid of the baby, and you need to get a job, okay? And I don't care how you get rid of that baby. Now, I'm not going to go into this on this podcast. I have had babies that have not lived. I have not gotten rid of them myself. They just never live. Now, can we move on to the next topic, please? I did not come on my show. I did not come on your show to talk about my dead babies.
I just want to revisit the man that gave you the night of your life from MySpace. Yes. You drank his bones.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that was that coming from your gut? Was that what you were talking about?
Yes.
Using your brain?
Use your brain. Now, let me tell you something. Okay? You do not face this in your world. But in my world, if you was a black woman, which you are not, and you are in an apartment where there is a dead man on the floor, you know what the police is going to do? They're going to walk up to you, handcuff you, slam you against the wall, and take you to jail. And then, only then are they going to question you. Because when you are black in the United States of America, you are guilty until proven otherwise.
So, naturally, the best response was to
burn him, get rid of his bones, get rid of the evidence, and sashay out that apartment. Let me tell you something, I do not make the rules of this world, and I'm sorry to cut you out.
How did you feel when you left?
I felt elated. I felt like I had just won the Kentucky Derby with the big hat. What do you mean how I felt? I felt revolted. You know, I vomited his bones up in the street, in the sewer. So all the evidence was gone. I was disgusted with myself. I walked around for 2 days. I did not go home. I did not call anybody on my cell phone, even though I got 6 calls from my friend Tiki. I just walk around in a daze, thinking, what did I do? Why does life pour these things down my throat? Why is Lady Raptastic's life so much more difficult than somebody else's? And you know what? You know what? After 2 days of ruminating and thinking about, you know, why me, why me, why me, I realized it's because I am black.
Does your friend Tiki have these same problems?
No.
Is she black or he black?
Yes, it is she. Have you ever met a black man named Tiki? Oh, yes, there is a Tiki Barber.
So she's black and she doesn't have these problems.
What's your point?
Could there be another reason why Lady Raptastic has these problems?
Because I'm black.
Tiki's black as well.
I know, but she's Tiki. I'm Lady Raptastic.
So how do you deal with these problems? Does it ever get too much?
It does come up too much. It does get to me, you know, and sometimes I lose my mind. Sometimes I remember waking up one day after something, I think I fell out of an airplane or something, and I had to go into the hospital for 2 weeks, and then I came back, and you know when soldiers go to Iraq, you know, and they come back and they're all crazy, you know, and they call that post-war syndrome. I self-diagnosed myself, and I basically spent 3 days staring at a wall, saying the ABCs backwards. I mean, it does get to me. But you know, like I said, like I told these kids, like I tell the kids every week when I go touring around to the Boys and Girls Club, I say, you've got to use your brain. Life is a game. Sometimes you lose and sometimes you win. But the game do not end until you die. So, if you are going through a losing streak, that does not mean you have lost. It just means right now you are losing. Okay? But you know what? If you are losing, that means that you have the opportunity to be winning. And that's what I think. What you laughing at, Ed? What you laughing at? I'm trying to tell you the story of my life and you laughing.
It's an expression of enthusiasm.
You know what a real expression of enthusiasm is? A high five. A hug.
Should we high five now?
Yes.
Hallelujah. How did you start with the Boys and Girls? How did that come about?
I was arrested.
Really?
What and for? Given community service. I was shoplifting. Do not judge. And I was given community service, and I had to go around to the Boys and Girls Clubs and say, in shackles. Hand shackles, ankle shackles, elbow shackles. They would not let me wear my wig, and I had to go in to every Boys and Girls Club and say, look at me as an example, and they wouldn't let me speak. They had a white officer drag me in, throw me on the ground, on my stomach, with their pillow, and the man would say, "This is an example of what you could be like if you do not follow the path of good." And then after that, I said, "You know, I am inspiring children, you know, by letting them see me shackled and thrown on the floor." And I thought, you know, I bet I could do more if I spoke. So once that community service was done, I started saying, going back to the Boys and Girls Clubs and saying, "Can I please speak at your Boys and Girls Club?" And they said, "Aren't you the woman who was shackled and thrown on the floor with the pillow on your face?" And I said, "Yes, but I have changed my life around and now I'm here to inspire." And they said, "Okay, we'll give it a try." And you know, at first it was very shaky. You know, I walk in and there's like 200 little boys and girls looking up at you with their eyes. And you know, I had to drink a lot to get through this. And the first time I did a presentation, I was so drunk that I could not speak. And I fell down on my face. And the boys and girls, they started to laugh, you know. And it woke me up from my buzz. And I said, "Wait a minute. I got more than inspiration in me. I can make people laugh, you know? Huh? Do you know what I mean?" So, you know, all these stories lend themselves to the podcast. I discovered within me that I can inspire and also make people laugh.
So we're talking about podcasts, broadcasting. Naturally, that brings up, you know, something that's been in the news lately. Don Imus. Do you have any opinions on that whole scandal?
It's funny you ask. I wrote a blog post on my blog, which is LadyTheRaptastic.com, for those of you who have internet. And I basically said that we should institute what the Native American Indians used to do many, many years ago, which is something called scalping. And the title of my post is "Scalp Imus." I believe that not only should he lose his job, I believe not only should he lose every dollar bill that he ever made, I believe he should lose the top quarter inch of the top of his head.
And you think that's fair for his comment?
Yes, I do.
Does that comment resonate with you in any particular way? Have you had nappy hair in the past?
Excuse me? Do you understand what his comment meant? He called a group of girls who are not only successful athletes, but they're college students. And you call them nappy-headed hoes. That ain't right. You know, he does not know nobody in that team. But suddenly he can say the word nappy-headed hoes. What does that make you think? He should lose the top quarter half of his head. He should be scalped. And let me tell you something. I have got a very good steak knife set, and I will do it myself.
Have you ever scalped anyone?
Yes, I have. Have you been to my neighborhood? You have not. Let me tell you something. You have got to be creative when you are defending yourself. And I learned scalping from an Indian friend of mine named Shakira. Now, there's not the singer named Shakira. It's another girl named Shakira. She Indian. And she said that from her great-great-grandfather, she learned how to scalp. And I said, "Can you teach me?" And she said, "Well, we got to have somebody to practice on." So we went to the club, we got in a fight, and then we scalped somebody. And that's how I learned how to scalp. You know the way, why you're laughing? Because you clearly do not take this seriously. Don Imus, you know, is one person that we're all focusing on, you know. But the whole point of this is that there are millions and millions of Don Imuses in the world, you know, and only one of them's got a microphone. But he sheds a light on all those other Don Imuses. Now, all the races of the world are going to go, "You know, I better watch my mouth. I better not talk like that. Or at least do it around other racists, you know? Because let me tell you something. If somebody called me a nappy-headed hoe, if somebody walk up to me and say, 'Hello, Later Rap Testy, you are a nappy-headed hoe,' I will scalp you. And I will scalp Imus. I believe that the punishment should fit the crime. He took the dignity and the self-respect of those women, but he did something to it. And I believe that we need to do the same thing in reverse to him. Next topic.
I want to revisit when you learn how to scalp somebody. Can you go into that a little further?
Of course I can. I'd be happy to, because I'm very proud of what I learned in the club. My friend Shakira, who is an Indian, Native American, I don't know what you call them people. She said, I'm going to teach you how to scalp. So we go to the club, and we have a reason to scalp somebody. So I get in a fight with this girl. I think her name was Sherelle. I do not know. Sherelle, I spilled a drink on her top, okay? And I made it look like I tripped. And then she said, excuse me, did you just spill a drink on my top? And I said, of course I did. Everybody saw it was an accident. I'm sorry. And then I spit on her shirt. And I said, let me clean it. And I spit on her shirt. And I started rubbing. And she did not have a bra on. So I started rubbing. And she was wearing a t-shirt. It had on in the middle. It had a heart. And a rainbow coming out of the top of the heart. And at the top of the rainbow, it said, love me. And I spit on it. And I started to rub. And I said, let me get that stain out for you, please. And she said, what the hell are you doing? And I said, I'm trying to help you the best way I know how. Please let me help you clean this shirt. And she said, are you crazy? And I said, oh, no, you did not. Did you just call me crazy? And she said, yes, I did. And I said, let me tell you something. I've had a hard knock life and nobody call me crazy. When you call me crazy, we're going to fight. Would you like to step outside and have the club? And she said, yes, I would. The music stopped. We went out to the club. The entire club, 55 people in that club. 55 people in that club walk out to watch the fight. At that moment, Shakira handed me the knife and she said, go for the forehead and make a U. And I said, okay, here we go, Shakira, here we go. So, they had a ring of people had surrounded me and this girl, Sherelle. And she said, now let me tell you something before we begin. I do not have any accoutrement. I do not have a gun, a knife, a bullet, a shard of glass. I'm just going to fight you, handcuffed, hand to me. And I said, okay, that's all right. She lunged for me. I pulled the knife out of my purse, make a U on her forehead, and ripped the top of her head off.
In front of 55 people.
Yes, I did. And I stood there and I said, you have been scalped. And blood started to drip from the scalp down my arm onto my t-shirt. I had a white sleeveless t-shirt. They had a teddy bear on the front. Actually, it was a teddy bear with two heads, And one was saying, I love you. And the other was saying, I hate you. It's very cute. And the blood started getting on my t-shirt. And I got very angry. So I took the t-shirt off. And then I dropped the scalp. The girl started screaming, I have been scalped. I have been scalped. Somebody call the police. I knew I was in trouble. So I was removing my shirt, so the blood wouldn't get on the t-shirt. I found this scalp. Someone had stepped on it and got it on their shoe, when their high heel shoe. I had to rip it off the high heel shoe. And me and my friend Shakira started running. And you know what? The entire club started running after us, 55 people. The girl who was laying on the ground with the scalp head, she couldn't run. She was kind of dizzy, because she ain't got no head up on her head. And we got about two blocks, and I turned around and I said, you know what? You all are going to die. I'm going to put a hex on you. And they believed me, and they stopped running. And me and Shakira kept on running. We run into the night. We run for 16 blocks.
And what happened then?
We was arrested. A cop car found us. I threw the scalp into some bushes. I was shirtless because there was blood on the shirt. I threw the shirt in the bushes. I was not wearing a bra. So I was topless in a miniskirt. Shakira was shaking. She didn't know what to do. And we was both taken into custody. The moral of the story is, I don't know what the moral of the story is.
What happened after you got in custody?
I went to jail.
For how long?
2 months. Because I didn't kill her. When you scalp somebody, it's not like you're trying to kill them. You are trying to permanently maim them. But it is an action that is protected by one of the amendments because it was invented by the Native Americans. Am I making sense? Because, they have a deal. The Native Americans have a deal where if you scalping is legal on those Indian farms, where all the Indians live. But it is not legal outside of the Indian farms, reservations, whatever the word is.
And your club was on a reservation?
No, but it is illegal. But you cannot, it's not defined as, attempted murder. It's defined as something like an antiquated abuse. And I'm having so much fun on your show. You are very, high five! Hallelujah.
Who's your dream guest for one of your podcasts?
I want to have Paula Abdul. Because I think, you know, I remember when she first came out, you know, she was very pretty and she had all the hit songs. Shut up, not forever. Do you really want to live me forever? You know, and then now she'll come back and she has a complete makeover and she does American Idol. And she do it drunk.
So what would you ask her?
I would, that's a very interesting question, Alice. First of all, do you miss, you know, being a superstar? Because, you know, now she's not really a pop star. She's a lady who appears drunk on a talent show. So I would say, first of all, do you miss being a pop star now that you are a drunk on a talent show? And then, two, I would say, do you have any children? And number three, I would say, do you wear wigs or is that your real hair? Number four, I would say, can I come over to your house? Number five, I would say, if I gave you my email address, would you be my email pen pal? Do you want me to go on?
No, I think that's great.
Oh, okay.
Would you like to be drunk on a talent show one day?
No, I do not believe in being drunk. I believe that you need to take care of your body.
So, English wine.
Mm-hmm. That's just wine. That's not alcohol. That's wine. You know, wine is classy. White people drink wine.
Doesn't wine get you drunk?
Yes. I know what you're trying to say. You are trying to make a correlation as if wine is the same thing as hard alcohol or beer. And it is not. You know why? Because wine is classy. What do you drink wine in? A wine glass. Is that classy? Thank you very much. Do you know what Paula Abdul drinks? Hard liquor. I read this in a magazine. She take, you know those Coke cups they got on the table? I don't know if I ain't watching it anymore, but used to have these cups with Coke on it. I'm just this show. You look at me like I'm crazy. No, do you watch American Idol? Do you have a TV? Are you live in America? I'm sorry. I'm being rude. This is your show. She was sneaking in rum in her Coke.
And what magazine did you read this in?
Elle. Black L. Did you know they have a new magazine called Black L? You know what makes me, it confuses me, because I don't know why we have to have a Black L. Because why don't they call it the White L, you know? And what are they gonna do next? Chinese L. What's the point? Why would we have to divide our race, you know, into... Now, I do know this. I do know the reason we have to have black hair magazines, you know? Because the black hair is different, you know. I gotta have my, you know, they ain't gonna talk about black hair in Vogue, you know. I do read Vogue. Why do they not talk about black issues in Vogue? Do they not think black people read Vogue? Vogue is racist. All right.
So you don't want to be a drunk person on a talent show?
No.
How would you like to see yourself in 10, 15 years? What would you like the encyclopedias to say when you look up Lady Raptastic?
When do I want to be in 10 to 15 years? I would like to, number one, have my dream come true, which is have a rap contract and release records. And I do not want to be like Da Brat. You know Da Brat? Ain't nobody know who she is. That is not a rap artist. And Da Brat, if you listening, you come bring it, okay? Because you are not a rap artist. And I do not respect you just because you hang out with Mariah Carey and you rap on Lover Boy. That's the last record she had, I think, is rapping on Lover Boy. That ain't no rap career. Please. Anyway, back to me. I think in 10 to 15 years, I would like our podcast to take off. I would like a rapping career. I would like to have babies that live. I would like to be married and live in a house. And I would like world peace. And I like to learn how to cook. And I would like to have my own line of shoes.
What kind of shoes would they be?
I don't care. No, I want a line of shoes with my name on it so I can make money. Do you think J-Lo and Britney Spears has anything to do with the perfumes and the clothes that they designed? No. They say, how much money you gonna pay me for my name? Okay, bye. Give me the check. I'm going to go to Rio Barbados while you design your clothes. That's what they do. Please, do you know, I'm going to clear up a myth. If you think for one moment that J-Lo is sitting up in some sweatshop designing clothes for the J-Lo collection, you are wrong. I mean, you are right. That's like saying J-Lo sets up the speakers for her live tours. No! She got somebody to set up the speakers, to set up the microphone, to set up the lights. Sure, she does the walk on the beach, J-Lo, and lip sync, okay? What she do with her clothes, okay? Am I making myself clear? Is she says, hello, here's my name, give me my check, I'm going to Barbados. And that's exactly what I want to do. Make money for my name. I want my name, you've been worth something. And you know you made it when you can just put your name on something and somebody buys it. Klondike bars.
Why shoes? Why not ice cream bars or hairbrushes?
I said, well, you know, this is what I noticed. Is you got to start out with one product, and then if that product sell well, then you branch off into other products. So I'm going to start off with shoes, and then I'm going to do wooden bracelets, and then I'm going to do, you know how Jessica Simpson does them hair extensions? You know the hair, do you know?
No.
You know, what, do you live in America? Please turn on the TV. Watch the TV. I'm going to sell a line of wigs and hair accessories for the wigs. I'm going to develop the first wig that has attachments. I'm going to call it attachments. Anyway, I'm just playing. Now, I want wigs, you know, so you can have one wig and just take parts of it off and clip parts of it on, you know, like buckles and ponytails and, you know, mohawks and stuff, and just hook them on. Snap. Everything's going to snap on your main wig. You order a wig and say, I want the hair to be this length. And then you can snap on pieces. Like, you can snap on a headband. You can snap on, you can even snap on earrings. That's crazy.
So you don't want a rap career like the Rats. Who would you want your rap career to emulate?
What's that white rapper's name? Eminem. I want to be like him. I just feel as though he's coming from the heart. You know, he was raised, he was white trash in the ghetto, you know, and he puts his heart and soul into his music. And he, you know, like, it's the opposite of, you know, in the 50s when the black people had to fight for their rights. And, you know, we are just like you. We are not animals. We are not baboons. We are not raccoons. We are not elephants. We are human beings, okay? We are mammals with fins. I'm just kidding about that last part. He conversely, I'm using that cottage word, please. Conversely had to fight and say, you know what, even though I am white, I am just as good a rapper as you. I am just as creative. I'm just as smart. I'm just as talented. And you know, being a woman of size, I have that same uphill battle as well. You know, because everybody wants a rapper to be sexy, you know. Everybody wants you to be pretty and look like Beyonce and have long hair. Well, I do not look like that, okay? I look like what I look like, you know, and I'm not going to change for nobody. What you're going to like about the level of testing is this. You're going to like what's up in my brain, what's up in this head, what's up in my heart and my gut.
Do you see yourself blazing a trail for other women of size?
I see myself as this. I don't know about no trail or no blazing because I do not do drugs. But I'll tell you this much. When you go out into the world and you are honest with yourself and with other people, you say, I like who I am. Do you like who you are? You inspire other people. You know, you can't help but inspire people. You know, I look at you. You know, you do your thing here. You got your radio show. I ain't never listened to, but I'm sure it's very good. And this office is very lovely, you know, and everything. And I say, you know what? One day I want to be like this. I want to have my own radio show. You know, and you did, all you did was sit up in your chair day after day and do your thing. And I'm inspired by you. Give me a high five. Hallelujah. And I want to do the same thing for other people. Only black people, though. You know, I don't have no offense against white people, but, you know, they got their own system. I mean, the world is made for the white person, okay? Black people, we need to take care of ourselves. You know, we need to raise our babies. You know, it takes a village. And I'm going to be the mother of that village. And everybody else is going to be mothers and fathers and sisters and brothers. And we are going to raise our black youth to become what they can be.
Do you identify with Oprah as a woman of size?
Yes, I do. She is not a woman of size. She is an average woman. How dare you say that?
But she once was a woman of size.
Yes, she was. But you know what? Have you ever had to be on national television and had the distress that she has? I think that's where her eating disorders came from. People say, I have an eating disorder. They say, Letter Up Chastity, why are you so big? And I said, because that's the way God made me. And they say, Letter Up Chastity, does God make you put Cheetos in your mouth? And I say, no, that he does not. I say, I choose that myself. And you know what? I could have a hard body, okay? I could be in a bikini. I could wear a tube top and not offend people. But I choose to live my life for food. Food is my savior, okay? When I'm sad and down and depressed in the dumps, when I feel as though the world don't like me, when I feel as though I ain't got no friends, no nobody, no love, no job, no money, no babies that survive, I go to the bodega, and I get me some Fruit Loops and a couple candy bars, and I feel, okay, food is your friend, and it's the only friend you will ever have the rest of your life. Not many people are willing to be that honest, you know?
Do you run into problems because of your honest,
Yes, I do. I, you know, some people want you to be polite. You know, hello, how are you? Thank you. Goodbye. God bless you. Let's all excuse me, please, as I get off the subway. I will not be like that, okay? You know, life is too short to not let everyone know what you think. That's what I think, you know? I'm sitting next to you, and you burp, and I smell it. It is as though I am denying my own humanity if I do not say something to your face. And I'm not here to deny my humanity. I will say to your face, put that burp back up in your mouth before I put your mouth on the side of your face. Does that make sense? I threaten people with their lives. And you know what that does? You know what that does? Hello, are you talking?
What does it do?
It makes people aware of their humanity. It reminds them, when I threaten somebody with their life, once I walk away, you know, I say, okay, that's all right. They have a feeling of calm. You know, they say, oh, that woman was about to kill me. She did not kill me. Now I am grateful for being alive. Does that make any sense?
How do you know this?
What do you mean?
How do you know that's what they feel?
I feel it in my gut. I walk away going, you know what? I'm very angry right now, but I know I left that person thanking the Lord that they're alive. And that's how we all should be, Ed. You know, that's how we all should be. We all should be thankful that we have a place on this earth. We might look in the mirror, Ed, and we might go, I don't like what I see. I don't like what I see. But what you got in that mirror is all you got, and you need to be thankful. Let me just give me a two-take moment. Yeah. I am beautiful, no matter what I say. No words can bring me down. No. Don't you bring me down today.
Who are your favorite singers, Lady Raptas?
Ooh, I like Mariah Carey. I like Beyonce. I like anything from the 70s. I love Donna Summer. I wish Donna Summer was still alive. Don't you?
I think she is.
She is? No, I think she's dead.
I'm pretty sure she is. We can Google her now if you want.
Excuse me, please. Do not be dirty, please. That's a dead woman you talk about.
I meant perform a web search using Google.
Oh, that's... You can do that all you want. Somebody told me she dead. You know what? I think I said enough about the subject, really. I'm being adversarial, Ed, and I'm trying to have fun on your show. I'm sorry.
What's your favorite way to relax, Lady Raptastic?
Eating a nook wine. Now, I like to come home, you know, after a long day of whatever I do during the day, which is none of nobody's business. Do not ask. You know, my lighting bill is paid. That's all you got to know.
What do you do during the day?
My lighting bill is paid.
So what do you do during the day, Lady Reptile?
My lighter bill's paid. What did you ask me?
Your favorite way to relax.
I like to come home, get completely naked, get a bottle of Ingenuity from that refrigerator, pour myself a large plastic tumbler full of the wine, pop some popcorn, put some Hershey's syrup on top, and watch TV until I fall asleep.
What do you like to watch?
I like to watch everything, really. You know, a little bit of The American Idol, The Apprentice, Dancing with the Stars. I have a VHS copy of all of the Charlie Brown Christmas specials I like to watch. You know, this sounds very strange, and people do not understand, but somebody gave me a copy of Hello, Dolly, and I watched that.
Did you like it?
Yeah, I love it.
What did you relate to in it?
I don't relate to nothing. It's just pretty to watch. It's just a whole, you know, screen full of white people wearing the most beautiful costumes. And I just love to watch it. I lose myself in it. I just lose myself. I drink the wine and I watch the movie, and literally it is as if I am in the movie. I pretend in my brain. You know, I got a feather in my hair. I got one of the big dresses, you know, with all the diamonds and the feathers and the padding, you know, and I'm walking around in my skirt. And I say, hello, darling. Well, hello. Wait a minute, is it illegal for me to sing that song? Because you don't have the rights to it on this radio station. Don't look at me like...
Would you like to sing more?
Of what?
Of the Hello of anything.
What would you like me to sing? I love to sing.
You said you like Mariah Carey, right? How about Vision of Love?
All right, here we go. Treated me kind. That's all I can do. That's crazy. All right. What else?
Well, so you obviously have an excellent voice.
Thank you very much. Ah, that's very sweet of you.
So, have you ever thought about recording pop R&B standards or even doing a Broadway show?
What? No. Please. Broadway?
Hello, Dolly.
Oh, you mean me be... Oh, my Lord. That would be my dream come true. Nah, that's... No, they don't. That's not... We're not never gonna happen. You know, people ask... Tiggy asked me, why don't you record pop R&B, you know, where you sang. And, you know, my heart's in rap, you know? I might be able to have the ability to sing, you know? But my heart is in rap. I like to do rap.
Can you verbalize what draws you to rap?
It's like... You ever seen a hungry dog go after a rat? Okay, well, let me picture. You got a hungry dog, and it sees a rat. And he turns into a machine. And he goes and puts the entire rat in his mouth and just swallows it whole, like a snake. That's the way I feel about rap. I'm just drawn to it. As soon as I get into the studio and we sit down and we start to record the rap, you know, I'm swallowing the rat. I am a rapid snake, and I swallow that rat. I had a vision of love. So, you know, I like to sing, but that's not what my heart is. Then you know you got to follow your heart. You know? If you don't follow your heart, you are living a life that is not worth living, and you might as well shoot yourself. That's a lesson for you all. I've already talked about that. You know?
Well, I think that's a great place to end it. I hate to say goodbye, though, Lady Raptastic. Thanks so much for coming by and being on the show.
Yeah, look into my face. This has been a pleasure. You know, there ain't many places that will have me on their radio. But for you to have me, it means a lot to me. And for your listeners who are listening today, please note, I love you. Even if I don't know you. And believe in yourself, because tomorrow you might be dead, but no matter what comes your way, believe in yourself. My name is Lady Raptastic. My website is LadyRaptastic.com. My MySpace page is MySpace.com/LadyRaptastic. Thank you very much. Believe in yourself and believe in WFMU, the radio station for white people. Lady Raptastic out. We'll be right back.
This has been the Ed Shep Radio Experiment. Thank you for listening and tune in next week. This is Ed Shep signing off. Beep. You are listening to WFMU East Orange, WXHD Mount Hope, and WFMU.org.